Make sure that you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Because of reactions like Herod's, you can understand a bit more about why Jesus kept trying to tell those who received his miracles to keep quiet about them. Jesus didn't come to be a superstar, a mere wonder worker. He came to give his life that we might live through him in repentance and in faith.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Luke.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. So last time, you recall, we heard Jesus summon the 12 to him, and somehow or other, he gave to them his power and his authority over demonic forces and over all disease. Maybe with laying on of hands, maybe just with some verbal charge. Either way, he sends them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Remember, the kingdom of God means to announce the arrival of the true king in this occupied territory and the healing that results above all when God assumes his rightful throne in the human heart. The healings of the bodies were all signs of that setting things to rights, which happens when human lives begin to be reflective of God's original intention for them. He told his 12 not to worry about stuff to take with them. No staff, no bag, bread, money. They would be dispensing heavenly riches, and so shouldn't be focused at all upon earthly goods. Similarly, they weren't to jockey for better provisions when they stayed in a place, but simply hang out wherever they are first welcomed. And remember how serious a matter it was if someplace wouldn't listen to them. The dust shaken off the feet testified that their rejection of salvation was their own doing. So out they went, though only into Jewish lands, testifying to the good news of our king's arrival and proving the truth of their proclamation with the miraculous healings that they performed by that king's power and authority. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 7. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had arisen. Herod said, "John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things?" And he sought to see him. Luke 9, verses 7 to 9. Let us pray. Gracious Savior, good and kind, light of light from God proceeding, open now our heart and mind. Help us by your Spirit's pleading. Hear the cry your church now raises. Hear and bless our prayers and praises. Father, Son, and Spirit, Lord, praise to you and adoration. Grant that we may trust your word, confident of our salvation, while we here below must wander, till we sing your praises yonder. Amen. Well, you ready to get into today's passage? Let's do this. Verse 7. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening. Herod. Yes. Herods in the New Testament are about as hard to figure out as Mary's. This is not Herod the Great, but his son, Herod Antipas. Let's review what we learned about him so far from Luke's gospel. He's first mentioned in Luke 3:1 as one of the rulers under which the whole drama of redemption would unfold, and his specific territory was described as Galilee. So Jesus is a citizen of Herod's territory. And we learned in that same chapter that John the Baptist had reproved Herod for having his brother Philip's wife, 3:19. And don't forget that Herodias, the wife, was actually niece to both Philip and Herod. Yikes, they were pretty twisted folk. Then back in chapter 8, we met a woman disciple named Joanna, whom we were told was the wife of Cusa, who was manager of Herod's household. So that may account for how Herod catches wind of all the amazing things that are taking place around Jesus of Nazareth. And catching Herod's attention is not necessarily a good thing. Remember that the Pharisees will come to Jesus, 13 verse 31, to tell him he needs to clear out of town, because Herod was trying to kill him. Jesus isn't cowed, though, and even calls Herod a fox in response. This is the same Herod who will order James's death by the sword and attempt to kill Peter, but will be thwarted, and who meets that horrid end described in Acts 12, verse 23, being struck by an angel and eaten with worms for not giving glory to God, instead accepting the accolade that he was speaking as a god and not as a man. So that Herod, okay? Verse 7 continued, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead. The rumors are swirling around who Jesus is exactly, and this leads to perplexity on Herod's part. John the Baptist, recall, was not a miracle-working prophet, as we learn from John 10, verse 41. And many came to Jesus, and they said, John did no sign. But everything that John said about this man is true. And anyone who knew the history knew that John and Jesus had actually interacted, that Jesus had been his relative and had received baptism at his hands. Yet when people are confronted by things beyond their comprehension, they sometimes grab at straws. And that clearly is what's happening here, as people begin to say that Jesus is really none other than John the Baptist risen from the dead. And that's why he can do these great miracles, because he's died and come back to life. So close to the truth there, and yet so far off, too. But that's not the only rumor floating about these parts to explain the inexplicable powers of Jesus. So verse 8, by some that Elijah had appeared. No, the Jews didn't really believe in any kind of reincarnation, but they had a promise from Malachi. Chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. So there was a lively expectation that Elijah would somehow show up again. Truth is, he will, before we go too much farther in this chapter. He shows up on the Mount of Transfiguration, but Jesus makes it clear that what Malachi meant is actually fulfilled not in Jesus, but in John the Baptist. And that fits exactly with what the angel Gabriel had told Zechariah. Remember this? Luke 1, verse 17. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. So the explanation that Jesus must be Elijah is obviously as flawed as the notion that Jesus is John come back from the dead. Now, some other folk made a more reasonable conclusion, I suppose. Verse 8 continued, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen, which I think means a prophet like the prophets of old. That makes perfect sense when you think about the miracle-working prophets like Moses, like Elijah, like Elisha. Obviously, Jesus fits in with that pattern of showing power over nature that is inexplicable and astounding. But of course, those prophets make it clear that they operated solely by the command and promises of Yahweh. Jesus doesn't depend on someone else for his miracles. They clearly flow directly from him with his own words of command. So he can't really then be a prophet like the old ones. If he's a prophet, which he is, he's the singular one, foretold by Moses in Deuteronomy 18:15, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." But as Herod ponders the swirl of rumors, he tries to sort things out. Verse 9, Herod said, "John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things?" Now, this is slightly different from what the evangelist St. Mark writes. He says Herod's conclusion was that he was indeed John raised from the dead. See Mark 6, verse 16. I think we may take the more tentative question in Luke to suggest that Herod was wavering on the question. His guilty conscience suggested, "Oh no, John's back!" But then when he thought about it, he thought, "How can that be right?" And then he went back to, "Who is this man?" Verse 9 continued, "And he sought to see him." He would, too. I didn't mention it when I was introducing Herod Antipas, but remember, this is the very Herod who plays a role in Jesus' trial. Pilate, not really wanting to kill Jesus, palms him off on Herod, who happened to be in Jerusalem at that time. Luke 23, verse 8, "When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him." To Herod, Jesus was a circus act of sorts. He wanted to see him do his stuff. You remember the words that Jesus Christ Superstar puts into Herod's mouth? "So, if you are the Christ, you're the great Jesus Christ, prove to me that you're no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. If you do that for me, then I'll let you go free. Come on, King of the Jews." That blasphemous show actually captures there the spirit in which Herod wished to take a gander at Jesus. He wanted to see him, not to hear his preaching, not to repent of his sins, not to enter God's kingdom, but because, hey, he didn't want to miss out on being a witness to the showy miracles. Remember how Jesus refuses to even talk to that man, and how Herod, disappointed, mocks him and sends him back in that splendid robe, which is probably the robe that Pilate later drapes on him. Because of reactions like Herod's, you can understand a bit more about why Jesus kept trying to tell those who received his miracles to keep quiet about them. Jesus didn't come to be a superstar, a mere wonder worker. He came to give his life that we might live through him in repentance and in faith. Now that's where we're going to call our halt for today. Next up, the feeding of the 5,000. St. Luke has only alluded to John's death, but both St. Matthew and St. Mark make it clear that it is news of John's death that immediately precedes the feeding of the 5,000. It looks like Jesus was trying to get away for some time, maybe to process the sad news of his forerunner's demise. And so once again, he and the disciples head to a desolate place by boat, but the crowds outrun them. And when Jesus lands, instead of having the leisure to grieve, he's confronted by people with their need of his teaching. He welcomes them. He spends the whole day teaching them. And when his disciples try to get him to send the crowds away to find food, Jesus tells them to feed him. This floors the disciples. It's unreasonable. He takes what they have, though, 5 loaves, 2 fish. He gives thanks. He distributes it to his disciples to pass along to the others. Shockingly, everyone eats and is satisfied, and 12 entire basketfuls are taken up of the leftovers. Who is this? Who can set a table for his people in the wilderness? Who can multiply food like that? Well, you know the answer. The crowds were beginning to know it too. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.